Brad Stats, good morning. Good morning and welcome. You're on Down to Brad Stats. Hello, good morning, Brad Stats. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing, Corey?
Yeah, fine, thanks. And you?
Fine, thank you, too. Does Stetson Bath still, is he still with your organization?
As far as I know.
Oh, I miss him from reading the news.
Yes, you mean, this is the latest.
Yes, man, he has such a bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah, he creates such an interest when you hear him on the news.
There's
one
who reads the news like Stetson Bath, man.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You could tell him that a brass stats caller has called and asked for him.
Yes. Yeah, sure, he's if he isn't listening, someone would tell him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What I was really impressed when I looked at this sun yesterday and saw that the Four Seasons property has been sold. Mm-hmm. And I began to feel good about it, even though that I am not a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party. But I was more than shocked in hearing that the property was not sold recently, mm-hmm. as the paper would tend to say, but that the property was sold 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I mean, well, the government can't be serious about transparency and all this accountability that they said that they would be a hallmark of the administration when they came to office in 2008.
I think what I am doing, I'm waiting on an explanation, right?
Yes.
Because from time to time, they have surprised me and come with some pretty good, reasonable explanation. But I would like an explanation for this one. And usually, these things are told in, they're spoken about in such a way they're tricky. So yeah. I said it wasn't sold, but I meant the property, and you talking about the name, and I meant the conveyance. But you,
right.
I mean the so when people get confused because yeah. people be telling part truths, so they don't yeah. tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They tell
That's
the
right.
truth,
yeah.
but they put other things with the truth. Or they tell the truth, but not the whole truth.
Yeah.
And I think that is what confuses the public when it comes to politicians. Because it's not that politicians may outright lie, but they don't tell you the whole story. And they're confused.
No.
And then you get at one meeting, one body can say, no, it was not sold. We did not sell the building. And then at the other meeting, yes, they quit and they sell the property. But the property meaning the name or the facility. You understand? And then people can't understand. People saying, look, them is liars, politicians are liars.
I'm talking about the property,
mm-hmm.
and I see a printed copy. I'm not talking about the brand name or all those kinds of things, or the rights or all mm-hmm. those kinds of things. I'm talking about the property, the land and building. And I see a conveyance to the effect, a printed copy of a conveyance to the effect that the property was sold since 2015. And I mean, mm-hmm. the government of Barbados should not do that with its people. Because here we are believing that the government is waiting for a buyer. Because this was the last I heard concerning this property was that the government was waiting for a buyer. And I heard that this year by the Minister of Finance in the House. He was waiting for a buyer. There were several persons who were interested, but he wasn't going to say anything yet because he had made some mistakes and blunders in the past, and he was waiting to get his information correct before he told Barbadians that the Four Seasons property had been sold.
But I remember a story. There was a story on the 17th of August, 2016, someone sent
yeah.
to me, where it said, Sinclair announced Four Seasons deal. So you may point back to that. There's a lot of confusion where these things are concerned. And
but he had announced it several times.
Mm-hmm.
He had announced it several times that there were buyers lining up and all these. You know.
But I think this is where good journalism comes into play, because you have to track back and trace back all the things that were said. And
yeah.
was it a deal? Was it signed? Where was the deal at? Because somebody doing negotiation, you may have sold the property, but you didn't sign over the rights. And there are various stages. You understand? There may have been a release of documents as yet. So we have to be very careful, and good journalists would be able to pick up and say, well, look, this is what happened. There was an agreement made in 2015. The money was transferred in 2016. The receipt was given in December. So the conveyance was, you honest? Do you take the greater point that I'm trying to get? And that's why I think that people get a little bit, you know, confused in these issues.
Yeah, but this is the point. If the property had been sold and the government has already received the money, and today it's crying that it can't buy buses and it can't buy garbage trucks and it can't buy things, it begs the question about where the money going. I mean, $120 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of trucks and buses and services that could be provided with $120 million.
That's the other question. Where's the money?
$120 million is gone. The property has been sold since 2015. And the government is all...
When you say $120 million gone, what do you mean by that?
What?
Yeah, $120 million gone. What do you mean by that?
If they don't have it today, because if the sale was completed since 2015,
mm-hmm.
and we are in 2018,
right?
The government has not given the taxpayers of Barbados any information concerning the receipt of the money, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Somebody else now owns the property,
mm-hmm.
which means that money has been passed.
It doesn't mean that. You know that you can take possession of a property before you pass all the money?
No, but how can you have a new owner?
Mm-hmm.
You don't sell property like that. How can you have a new owner when no money has been passed? I'm confused.
Yeah,
I can listen to your program.
A lot of confusion, but that's why. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
My thing is here, and this is where the government itself has admitted that it has failed, and it is in the area of communication. Communication with the people is a large part of democracy, or the mockery you see. Brad Stacks, good morning. Welcome to the program. Brad Stacks, good morning. All right. Brad Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, I surprised you didn't get cut, man. You criticized journalists in Barbados. Huh?
I thought everybody fair game.
Huh?
I thought everybody was fair game.
Catch that corner, that can of worms.
Huh? Mm.
Because, you know, truth be told, whenever anyone comes and says to you, where's the evidence? Or you can't say that without facts. You have to really point fingers at one particular profession as being the ones who claim to be those who are responsible for bringing truth to people, exposing certain truth, or at least exposing Barbados to Barbados. Because it's very easy to go interview people and say, oh, how has life been treating you? I see your conditions look a certain way. Do you think that this administration has done good? I mean, all that kind of question is fine. But where are the people who can actually get behind the scenes and determine who it is that are responsible for a number of things that happen? I mean, we left $500 left Barbados about 2 years ago. Let me dig in and find out who caused that to happen. I think some money left Barbados last year. Who caused that to happen? I mean, think about it. Who are the lawyers involved in Four Seasons? Well, that should be difficult. Because you might be surprised to know that they are members of the Barbados Labour Party, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if this thing was sold and people don't know about it, you can look and blame the present administration.
But that is confusing, too, because I would have heard these same people on platforms asking questions, too. If they are the attorneys for this project, they should be in a position to answer the questions and not ask them and posture to people.
Correct. All the journalists got to do is go in there and find out who were the lawyers involved with this particular property, who were involved with the, you know, when it was being purchased in the first place. And man, some of the names that will pop up, they're not going to surprise me,
mm-hmm.
because people actually believe that these parties are actually separate and distinct. Mm-hmm. Like you say, Wesley, that called before, I'm talking about Motley. You know, you said to Mr. Wesley, we had all these prime ministers that came before. They hadn't experienced nothing. Some were even surprised. You know, in fact, most of them were. Wiene Arabar never had an experience of nothing when he became prime minister of Barbados. Huh? Tom Adams, what Tom did before he became prime minister? Was he a minister in government? I mean, would name one prime minister of Barbados ever had experience a ministry or something before they became. Well, I think Erskine Stanifer had a ministry somewhere, or mm-hmm. a senator or something. Well, I don't know.
David Thompson as well.
David Thompson was there for years. Mm-hmm. David Thompson looking at me and Motley. Mm-hmm. Let me start these guys from young so we have some kind of, what's it called, succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it is. Who says you need to have experience of being a prime? Look at the guy who's a prime minister of St. Lucia. He sounds pretty, you know. I like the way this man talk. And he sounds as if everything this man say makes sense. I swear to God, this man is probably the most sensible prime minister I've heard for a long time. I don't know what he's doing, but it certainly sounds sensible to me.
Sounds sensible.
He never had an experience before neither. And doing nothing. So what's all this foolish talk about having experience in the ministry and qualifications and what a load of garbage. I wish you'll stop selling image. Or stop selling relevance.
That's not image. That's track record. When someone has held positions, and it doesn't have to be a ministry. You can look at people's track record and see the things that they did, the way they operate, the type of decisions that they've made in the past.
In private life is what matters to me. What you do in private life.
That's why I say it doesn't have to be in a ministry.
People, I am here to help you. Because if you come and tell me you are here to help me, oh, and you have not even pulled a pocket to help someone out in the real world, when you're in private, to demonstrate that you are genuinely involved, genuinely concerned about all of these suffering people in all the various ways, various colors that they people suffer in all different kinds of ways because the public can't, they go in wheelchairs for any reason. And you can come and say to people, I am genuinely concerned with these people, and you don't pull a red set from your pocket to demonstrate, or you don't contribute largely to foundations that actually support these individuals and stuff, and come and tell people to vote for you because you're so concerned. Listen, Miss Motley is being sold because there's this consideration that she will win the next election. I look at the number of lawyers backing her.
But were you pinpoint her? Aren't all the persons running being sold?
No, you're only selling one person, and they're backing. And they're
who's selling this one person?
You know, let me tell you, as a minister, I like Miss Motley.
But you got me lost. Who's selling this one person?
Might be like Wesley's and the people that are calling on the
but that's them party leader. What you expect?
That is what selling is all about, door to door, to get for the platform to talk and they say,
so you don't believe that UPP and Solutions and Democratic Labour Party and PCP and PNP and KGMP and CAP and all of those have people going door to door selling their people as well?
No, I think your parties have to sell ideas first. They can't sell a person.
They got the choice.
They got to go up there, put up a website and say, this is my plan, A, B, C, D, and D, cuss it, tear it down, agree with it, whatever it is, but we got to sell the idea. We can't sell, what do people say again? We can't sell Leonard Eastman or the other person, Granville Phillips.
I've seen evidence of that. I've seen Solutions brochures, right? And I've spoken to Solutions per candidate, some of them. The one particularly for the city and a couple of them. And they would have Granville's picture on there all and their picture on it. So they speak about their leader. And I think that that's what parties do. They sell their leader because they're selling, you know, the party through the leader.
Let me modify the comment then. Mm-hmm. They will sell their leader, yes, but they're going to have to sell a big plan behind it too. Because they're not going to buy the leader alone because nobody knows who these people are. Well, they probably might know Leonard Eastman because she's been a minister and she got all the experience at this.
So she will fall in the criteria that the rest are pushing anyhow. And they privatize as well through the Film Association and other endeavors.
What do I know of her? I think she actually does get involved, I mean, at the most basic level in activities outside of government and has been doing so for years. And it's just a matter of piggybacking and stuff. But, you know, or maybe it is. What do I know? What do I actually care? I'm just concerned with the fact that if you don't push a message, you're wasting your time. But these party guys for the two established parties are pushing the leader. The leader, you know. And give me something to work with. Give me an idea to tag on to. Not that I'm going to tag on to it because as far as I'm concerned, they're both extinct. They should have been proven that way a long time ago. But they're still behind this thing. Oh, this person has got the experience, and I'm thinking that's completely wrong.
But let me ask you a question.
But what is the idea? What are they coming that is any different to what they've had before? Huh?
Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to participate in this People's Manifesto exercise?
What's the People's Manifesto? Oh, you mean for the Starcom thing?
Yes.
But, why not? If I say something for this thing, we all don't read it long and say, well, that is my contribution.
But no, the way you take all this energy and rant off, go and sit quietly in a corner and put some of it down.
I want the government of Barbados to employ 200 lawyers and public servants and make them available to the general public, irrespective of whether you're middle class.
We're getting somewhere.
I want that to happen because I want doctors, I want to be able to walk into the polyclinic and get legal advice and legal support in the magistrate court and everywhere else. We don't have it to work, look to fork up money. You know, that sort of thing.
I want to get real serious with you for a moment, right?
We can actually, serious.
No. I mean
because
me.
Oynatha actually came with a suggestion in 2007. Sorry.
You're preempting me. Listen. I want you to get serious for a minute. No, I want you to start to put down some of these things. I'll tell you why. A number of persons who communicate to me about the program, they pinpoint you many times. There are people who I know started off and they hated you because of your approach, your aggressiveness, they call you a white shark, all kind of thing, you know, snapping your bite off. But you know that they've changed, they've converted and say, you know what, this man is one of the best, if not the best contributor to Brass Stats at this time. And I think that your ideas can penetrate once you continue to put them out there. And I think you should put them, put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, submit something. Because what we're going to do over the next couple of months, we're going to bring a lot of the policymakers and experts and specialists in various fields in here. And we're going to put these manifestos, suggestions to them. And we're going to hold them, their feet to the fire with it. That is my vision for the exercise. And that my understanding is that is management's vision for the exercise. The other thing is, and I separate the two, and I have no problem with that. The other thing is, I don't know if this will make you happy, but I was in a privileged position to hear some media executives speak about the establishment, it's already been established, of an investigative desk. And when we think and we talk about journalism, I think that although they have not supported us in our criticism, I actually get eat raw without salt of time for making the comment here.
They've
heard the suggestion, in my opinion, because they've established this thing called an investigative desk. They've spoken to some of the main reporters, it is my understanding. And the usual complaints, you know, the fear of victimization, Barbados being a small place, people not having interest or hunger in current affairs and not going after the issues. So we out here, we are on radio, we talking, you know, we keeping a lot of noise. We have an interest, a hunger, a thirst in current affairs, what's happening around us. But you would be surprised that there are some reporters in this country who they don't share that. They do it as employment. They go there, they get information, they bring it back. They, you know, they finish with that. And I think that actually is going to improve. And I'm not saying all of them, because I know people think some of them. They've actually started to work on that. And I think that's something that will make someone like you and someone like me very happy once we can see that implemented effectively.
Well, you see, the truth is you're working in a culture. And a culture that has, you know, a culture that's been here long before we were born and will be here long after we die. Mm-hmm. And that culture informs the decision that senior executives, because they get promoted to be senior, not because they're different, not because they're special, not because they're actually good at what they do. Oh, God, I know. Like they're good at what they do. But part of that has to do with defending the status quo and being a very good defender of the status quo. Otherwise, they're going to get there. You're going to put nobody in a senior position who's going to go up there and rock the boat. So any decision that you any idea you have here right now, it's going to be as tall as it leaves your mouth, because it has to get past the senior executives first for it to be implemented. The unfortunate reality is that all these reporters, I mean, I've never met a reporter who does not have a command of the English language. In fact, and they're extremely intelligent too. I mean, they can see things from four and five different angles. They go through media training. I think you may have gone through the same training as well, mass communications and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they not only were trained, but the idea, the mindset, the idea to question stuff, that is what motivated them in the first place to get involved with either, well, in one case, law, because they like to argue, and the other case, media, because they like to establish certain facts to being true. And they come up with these grand ideas, and they have to go and work with an editor who will tell you, my man, that can't pass. Huh? Right, that's another way, because you're going to offend that person. The ones upstairs are the ones who make the difference. The ones downstairs may very well want to get in there and do as you say. But they have to get past the guys upstairs. And you know something? Not in my lifetime. So the only way to get this, I like the thing you just said just now about
the investigative desk?
No, not the desk.
Or the people's manifesto.
The people's manifesto kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least you got some cosmetic way to get around that. But that investigative desk is a very good plan. I think it's an excellent plan. Of course, it'll make people happy and stuff. But at the end of the day, the senior executives are the ones who will have to buy off and make public whatever it is that is done. Because certainly for me, I would like to know who the hell is funding these political parties. It should not be a big problem. It should not really be a big problem because, I mean, money in, money out. You have a revenue authority, and they're supposed. You have a central bank. If money's coming in from overseas, you have people who have information as to what is actually happening. You just have to go and ask the right questions to the right people to find these things out. But that is the kind of thing that I would think an investigative desk would be cut. Oh, same, hey, the lawyers involved with the same property down here by Paradise, who when it was sold and when it was purchased in the first place. Who are the lawyers involved with that there? I mean, it's not difficult to find those things out.
Let me close you off here with another compliment at the risk of getting cast some more. Casting me forgive you compliments. Listen, but the last compliment is this. Someone here is suggesting that you should actually become a lawyer. You'll be a great lawyer. Get along with that one. Thank you. Have a good Brass Stacks, we'll be right back. I'll try to get through some of the WhatsApps as usual. Now, just bear in mind, some people complain, don't read their WhatsApps, but it's almost like playing lotto. You have to go through. And sometimes if there's the same theme running through a number of WhatsApps, you just read one and it covers the opinion of the many. It's not ideal, but it is not possible to read all these WhatsApps. They come through fast and furious throughout the day. Like, I'm still at like 10:43. In the WhatsApps, and there are many, many others. Now, this one says a third party must earn the right to be. They must earn their stripes, like 3 years before an election. Put forward your ideas. A third party must be able to govern billions of dollars and people's lives. This one, good morning, Mr. Lane. I believe there is a need for a third party, but not currently how it is done. I would like to see a third party with the likes of Jeremy Stephen, Corey Lea, Trisha Watts, so just to name a few. But with fresh, young, bright minds that aren't scared to change the system and that really needs changing. Plus, a third party doesn't have to win right away, but can make inroads by educating the public on what they would do, and we can see the sense in what they're saying. So a reason I would like to see them start a third party is because their bold, ambitious minds would be wasted in any other current BLP or DLP. Similar to how Chris Sinclair may have all the ideas and changes he would love to do, but had to follow a system because others aren't brave enough and want to change it. Seeing it would allow for a re-election, plus we would have young, bright minds. This one says, good morning, Mr. Lane. Bajans need to get in the habit of listening for GIS programs. Everyone in Miami knows which programs to stay tuned for the traffic situation in Miami and Barbados. Why is a much touted law to come that is so discussed being seen as such a surprise? Even the other safety laws, Bajans need to pay attention to what matters to our own safety and understand all the PR costs us more money. I am so tired with our risk-averse educated people. Brass Stats, good morning. Welcome to the program. Good morning. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm on?
Yes, please.
All right. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Before I go, make my point, everyone ask a question. Mm-hmm. How long we had traffic lights?
Why? Where are you going?
Well, because they hear people talking about issues. They're coming to pass a law. You got to do it in 9 months before you pass this law.
Nobody said that. Nobody.
No, listen.
No, it was here the whole day. Somebody said that
on this calling program not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That it should. The cell phone law. They should put it on hold for about 9 months before you come with the law.
You want me to tell you what was actually said?
Because
I said it. I read something where someone sent a message and said in Canada they had a particular law. They were given 9 months ahead with the seatbelt law. I can remember we having about 9 months. Someone said in Canada they had a few months before. So the whole idea is, and I'll put it probably as a question, do you believe that people should be informed when a law is coming into effect?
I'm not against it, but what I'm trying to show you is although we had traffic lights for a million years, people still walking through traffic lights when they like red light on, driving through traffic lights when they red light on.
Mm-hmm. So those are people who are breaking the law and they know of the law and they should be dealt with.
But
I wouldn't lump them with people that riding bicycles for years and they know that a law come up saying you should wear a helmet. I wouldn't lump them together, not me. You could, but I wouldn't.
When they left here, I'm going to America to learn the law in 1 minute. There's not all the things they can't do and we do it. In 1 minute,
that's not true. That's not true. You usually have family or friends that would tell you, because I remember doing things and my cousin would tell me, no, boy, in this city we can't do that. Don't do that. And I'm so grateful for people there to guide and not leave you to fall by the wayside, leaning upon your own understanding, where you ain't got a clue what's going on.
Move on from there now. Let me ask another question. Now, I hear been talking about seatbelts and helmets and things like that. And for years, a good few years ago, I was saying that you go out on these cruise boats at night with these for a cruise,
mm-hmm.
and would not make the people put on life jackets. Now, any place different about Barbados, I wouldn't say, I can't swear for the Caribbean islands, but in the big countries, when you go across by ferry, you have to put on a life jacket. And these flat bottom boats that we got in Barbados, you know, at night with 200 on it and things like that. First, I would like to know if they have the equivalent amount of life jackets on board in case anything that everybody would have on. Them is things that people should be thinking about. No boat should not go at night with 200 people and got 50 life jackets. Should got at least the 200, or if it ain't got 200, don't carry 200. These is laws they would like to see passed. Because just waiting for disaster to happen. They heard something advertising about something cruise, and the boat could hold 400.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something. A flat bottom boat, a boat with a keel got a chance. But a flat bottom boat is a dangerous boat to play with, but got bad weather.
Well, I hope that they're listening to your recommendations, because safety is something I would agree with you that we take for granted. You know, especially. Well, let me put it this way, until something happens. This message catch has caught my attention. It says, Corey, these traffic fines are simply too high for poor people. Yes, you break the law and you should be punished, but these forfeit fines are too much. I have a court date pending for 2 traffic violations, and Corey, as a self-employed person, and the work is not coming as before, I'm literally terrified of the fines I will get because I still have my daughter to support. Hashtag scared. Well, that's how the cookie crumbles. 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. All I could tell that person, if you're still listening, you know, that one of the things I think that is important in these cases is to explain yourself. And we have some magistrates that, you know, you should understand, should be understanding and be able to weigh the pros and cons as you explain them and be able to come up with a good decision. That's all I could say. Brass Stats, good morning. Good morning. Brass Stats, good. Okay, sorry. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air? All right, let's go. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air?
Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning to you.
I want to make a little contribution here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard you earlier were talking about twisting things and how they still half weird things and make people believe and whatnot.
Mm.
All right. However, I want to say that I heard you last week. I think you used the word the CEO of Barbados, but I want to use that same word that you use. Right? Now, the CEO had said with the Cahill situation that nothing can happen. It got to come through him. And then at the end of the day, he's already signed it ever since. You know? These are things that people are just fooling with. Mm-hmm. Now, my next point is that I think Friday was the last year that the house was adjourned, sunny day. And I want to tell you that some of that same people that you see came down them stairs Friday evening, the only way to get back at there is after going to the public gallery. But I heard Don Villena say that the private transport people deserve better. They deserve getting duty-free concessions and so on. I mean, I hope that Barbadians can see that for 10 years he did in office, and he waited the last day of the 10 years to say what he said. You know, and as you go on, Chris Stinkland now talking about a recovery plan. After recovery plan. And behaving as though Barbadians and got in a sense. Certainly, even as a fellow, they went to a bare primary school. Barbados got more sense than how them perceive us to be. It is awful to make them statements and think that Barbados can't see through them. This is not political, Corey. This is simple, downright belief that Barbados are idiots. I will not want people to stand for that. And other people out there blow horns about these things. The same Singlet spoke about Four Seasons several times. It against sell. We got a buyer. And up to now, he ain't know that they got one until you see the article come out in the paper.
The thing is, a lot of people are knocking me for saying, let's wait for explanation, right? But I think that until we hear the explanation of these things, we're going to remain in the land of confusion. Because let's go back to the example with the Cahill that you drew to us just now. And the mere fact that it is said on one hand, I ain't come to me yet, I ain't see it. And then on the other hand, some papers were presented that were signed. Is it just, was that a blatant lie? Or was it a different document? Because sometimes these things are so blatant, right? The only thing I could come, I try to find some kind of magical explanation for it. But that is why I say we need to drill down. As the media drill down, as journalists drill down into these things to get clear and concise answers and hold these people. When I'm in here and interviewing people at times, when you ask them the hard question, you know what they do? And callers do it too. Sometimes you ask people very simple questions and they go all around the bush. And that is an answer for me in itself. Because the fact that you cannot answer simple questions, it says a lot. It speaks volumes. But you blaming this body and that body, but I often encourage people to hold that mirror up to themselves, because we as a population, we have sat back for many a year, many a decade, and refused to understand that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And we squeak sometimes about the wrong thing, or we do not squeak enough for the important things. A lot of Barbadians do not even, and I speak to them daily, and we've got to do some educating of our Barbadian people. They do not make the connection of these things, you know. So it being sold for $60 million, if it is high in their opinion, this amount is selling out. They don't understand that money come, that is our money. If it is too low, they don't care. They say, well, look, man, the selling it off cheap. Like if it is the money going to politicians, they do not make the connection that it is our money. When you talk government should go pay this money, God, that is us. We are totally disconnected from our own system, sir. That is my difficulty.
But Corey, one of the things that I could say to you, Chris Sinclair said, at one stage, people that can't wear things from down at Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't own it. Ain't got, who's the owners? But if a man, you can't, in order to merit a conviction in a law court, and death, you must have an owner. Must have an owner. And he came back. The police recover property from down there and kept it in the custody. They know who do it, but nobody ain't get charged yet. You know, and up to now, I'm still wondering who is the owners of Four Seasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still this government borrow money from a Trinidad bank. They get money from the national insurance and put into, look, money was borrowed by this government for Four Seasons and not a cent and went towards the starting of the building. It went towards paying people that they owe.
All right, point me in, sir. Corey, tell hashtag scared stop breaking the law and they won't have any problems paying fines they can least afford. Are these people for real? Shit, my head. Interesting response. Some with empathy, some with hard love or tough love. Miss Elian, am I hearing right or understanding right? What is wrong with the government seeking to fulfill as much of its mandate as it can? When one is doing an exam, do you refuse to use the last 2 minutes to try to pass? I love that one. So my producer is helping me by sifting through these WhatsApp. So if your WhatsApp is not right, he's choosing the WhatsApp. So I put it on him. You see, no good deed goes unpunished. Brad Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Brad Stats, good morning. Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Listen to me, Kier. If I was to listen first with your ears and then your brain. Now, I know that a lot of persons just listen with the ears and only. Anyway, congratulations to you because you start to, I believe, you crawl first, then you creep. Now you realize you are walking. And I am glad that you're starting to make some success and endeavors from the last cricket match that you all had. I hope other persons would try to back up you on the ranch and try to continue on that vein. That's my wish for you and all concerned. Now, I realize that you and Mr. Auntie America come to a very mutual agreement. And I put it off to any time at all that a person like yourself can get that done. It says a lot about you. And it says equality that you can assist and turn other persons around to come the way that you believe and that should be the right way to go. I say that in a good way and not a bad way, my friend. Because if persons with brain like you all could get together, it says at least the future have a good chance. And I know, Corey, you would have an idea what I'm speaking about or where we'll let you all to go for the betterment of Barbados. Don't know, you may say you're involved in politics, but it ain't happened yet. But somehow down the line, even if you're not up front in politics, you'll be some sort of consultant in the wings or the background. Now, the lady that called, I was sending WhatsApp that you read about, she's a one parent and whatnot, and she had to pay these particular fines. I would like persons when they are coming around these WhatsApp, say what they did, how they were stopped, what caused them to go and pay the fine. Don't only come and cast out that part.
Now, the I don't think we'd be able to read all of that. That's the
okay,
truth.
You
I like
to read
learn
it,
WhatsApp to tell you
what
truth.
It would like for the persons who come and say they got to pay these fines, state why they had to pay the fines, right? Don't only put one part. Now, the gentleman didn't capitalize when he said to you that when they go to the states or another place, they learn the laws in 1 minute. You helped him prove his point, but he didn't capitalize on it because you said you went to do something and some person that was with you said, no, you can't do that, right? But you learned the same very thing because that person assisted you in learning. And if that person didn't assist you in 1 minute and you were caught, you would have been prosecuted. So in other words, you prove his point. You did learn fast. And it's sure about you ain't gonna forget easy. So what the man was saying is right. We got laws here for some other years and people still playing the fool with it. The only thing I know also to about Barr, the lady said on Brass that Sunday, I believe it was, that the fines, or some person calling up with her, is too extravagant for the cell phone, etc., 18 months. Now we are actually putting time and money on some person's life. We actually put in time that we will go up to prison and a fine on some person being bent up, break up, can't walk, can't assist themselves, cannot assist themselves. You cannot do that. If y'all don't want to get into it, take precaution. Be mindful that you're not the only person on the road. And I do not understand why people be fighting against this cell phone thing. Retrofit your old car with the necessaries, whatever.
I don't think people fight against. A lot of people I've heard have really commended it and say, you know, it was really necessary. I for one, it is a total inconvenience for me, but I support it. And I can tell you, I used to use my phone a lot. Because I had so much things going on, so busy, I need to do this. But I do understand it was a very bad habit.
And I
used to throw my phone in the back, put it in the trunk, try all kind of different things. You know what I mean?
And I guarantee you now, right? You're going to do something to retrofit something in the right way.
Done already.
You understand? So let me go that road. Anyway, I just really call to congratulate you. You're just adding putting those little things on. You're moving forward. And as I said, I hope other persons come on board sooner than later. Don't wait till all the funds that you all have gotten run out, and then you're all back to slump one. Let's have a continuation, and I will hope that everything continue the way it's going to help you and those guys or ladies, whoever needs the assistance.
And I still have the open invitation. You want to do open day and let some of you guys come up and see exactly what it is. Because, I mean, reading about it, hearing about it is one thing. Seeing it is something completely different.
And also attached to that, some sort of little something, whether it be a can stuff to donate someplace else, or even a little $5, $2, etc., whatever they have.
All right, thank you very
much.
Anyway,
you have a great day. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Now, what I find interesting is this whole thing where we have a lot of people writing in. And I'm going to read this one because we have about three or four like this coming in. It's kind of shocking to me. Hello, Corey. Hope you and your family are doing great. What you should have said to that person who said that the traffic fines are too high for poor people is to stay within the law. We break the law and then we want everyone to understand why we did it. If you are within the law and something happens, then you go the extra mile to prove to everyone that you were within the law and what had happened. What do you think, Corey? I know you're a fair person. Now, why I'm saying this is that there are times that things happen. I mean, it's life. People make mistakes. Are you right for making mistakes? No, but to be human is to err, and to err is to be human. And I think that, again, that is why when you get before a magistrate, someone who has that experience, sometimes you can see people trying to pull a fast one. And you pick up from the things they say. Sometimes you may pick up from the mannerisms and so on. Sometimes people make genuine mistakes, and they're genuinely sorry and remorseful. And I think that those things should be taken into consideration. Now, I don't know the person. I just read the thing, and it kind of touched me in a way, because I know for a fact that there have been many times that I've found myself in situations because I was trying to do the right thing. I give you an example. The same project we talk about now. I remember when I was getting the Rotary Award, I was talking to people who've been doing community work for 30, 40 years, and they talk about how they pack up these vehicles and they go on picnics and so on, and they're overloaded and so on. Now, trying to facilitate the project over the years, and many times I had to overload, many times that been stopped and reported and stuff like that. No, it is wrong. It is dead wrong. But you're trying to facilitate a process. So you're trying to do good, but you're doing it the wrong way. And there's no good way to do a bad thing or a bad way to do a good thing. And these are things you got to take into consideration. So that's why I said the message touched me, but it's not a takeaway from what many people are WhatsApping on and saying, you know, keep within the law, don't break the law, blah, blah, blah. I think y'all are right. Stay within the law. If you cannot do the time, do not do the crime. And I agree with that. But at the same time, there are things that happen as well. So read this last one, and then we go to break, and then we'll be back. It says, Bluetooth hands-free has always been my practice. When it comes to the earpiece, I do support the need for privacy when one literally can receive confidential calls from clients and customers while having other persons in your vehicle. A simple touch of the earpiece can make the public call in car private to callers and the driver's ear only. So the only adjustment I would recommend is the allowance of a Bluetooth earpiece. Right, yeah, I get the edit. Okay, good. And that is one of the things I've heard many people talk about in terms of people, especially those who do executive car driving and various jobs that will require one to actually have to speak a lot in the car using the Bluetooth. But the only problem is that it is on speaker, and it's not everything you would want people to hear. So very good call, very good observation by that person who sent that message. Brad Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.